I just want to begin by clarifying, just as we mentioned that 2 weeks ago, that that Christmas, or during that the entire period, holds no religious significance for us. Neither does the New Year. In fact, even the Islamic New Year itself, there's no specific ibadah for the New Year except for the dua for the new moon. Allahumma ahillahu alayna bil yumi wal iman, except for that dua. There's no religious significance for any of it. However, al-hikmatu dalatul mu'min, that wisdom is the lost found thing of a believer. Meaning, wherever a person can find wisdom, a believer takes it. A believer takes that. That's what he's known for. Wherever a person can take wisdom from, a person takes it. And since it's the new year, it's an opportunity for us to reflect. You'll see that, you know, the gyms, everyone's taking out new gym subscriptions for thing, and mashallah, for the first 2 weeks, gyms are busy. Then they're out the clean again. They don't have the resilience to continue. But just as I mentioned, that it's an opportunity for us to reflect. A year has passed. It's not that there's any religious significance, but it's just an opportunity. Whenever a believer gets an opportunity, he uses that and capitalizes on it. Since we're using the solar calendar anyway, we think to ourselves that how have we spent the last year. In fact, over here you don't, but there's another body. But in England you have something called Ofsted. That's the body for schools that monitor schools and gradings in terms of the performance. And they have something called Triple I. It's called a Triple I, which is intent, implement, and impact. So for a school, for them to initiate something, it requires a plan for project management, right? So the first one is intent. What's your intention? What are you trying to do? So the first part is intent, your whys, the purpose behind it, and what are you going to do. Then number two, implement. How are you going to do it? And number three, the impact, post-project analysis. What went right, what went wrong, and why, basically, and how that's going to inform upcoming projects. So it's just a way of reflecting. And for a believer, we can answer, just an idea. It's not to say we need to follow the same structure, but just an idea. A framework that, okay, the triple I, intent, what's our intent as believers? Being here, what's our intent? Meaning our intent is to attain Jannah, live as much as we can a good life, hayatan tayyibah, a pure life, a life of religiosity, a life we're going to attain Allah's pleasure, be spiritually connected, avoid as many harms as we possibly can. That's our intent. That's what we want. So the first part was the first I was intent. Second one was implement. How do we do that? We want to live a religious life. We want to live a life of peace, a life of serenity, a life of security. How do we do that? We need knowledge. We can't implement the faith, we can't practice the faith if we do not have the knowledge. We require knowledge to do that. So knowledge. Throughout, and have the resilience, perseverance, sit in the circles, knowledge circles, tajweed, etc. And gain from there. Right? To implement our intent. Our intent is to attain Jannah. Live a good life. So the implement. And the impact, in the sense that how do we recognize throughout whether we're going wrong, whether we're on track or we're not. Meaning, are we doing what, you know, throughout you're doing something, you continually check that, okay. For example, you need to reach London by 6 p.m. Now throughout the journey, you don't switch on the maps right at the beginning and then switch it off and say, yep, I'm gonna reach there by that time. You'll keep it on to know if there's any traffic, you need to reroute, or am I still on the correct route? Have I come off still M6, M1? Am I on the right route? So throughout, you're gonna check yourself throughout to ensure you're going to attain the right destination. You're gonna be there on time. So for us, our intent is to attain Jannah. And just like, you know, if you're in school, you've got an examination coming up, wherever, whether it's a driving test, wherever a person has. You know the source, and you know the questions that are going to come in that exam. You will prepare to ensure that you pass the exam knowing the questions that are going to come up. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah has informed us of the questions that are going to be questioned on the Day of Judgment. We know the questions. And I'm going to go through certain questions so we know what do we need in our lives to implement to ensure that we successfully pass all those. We've been given the mark scheme also. So first thing, every one of us will speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. there will be no intermediary, no translator between the slave and Allah. Meaning between us and Allah, there will be no third person. Now, you know, the third person in between is translating, gives you time to think. When you've got that, you're speaking directly to Allah, no translator, no intermediary, nothing can get lost. Directly between you and Allah. ثُمَّ يَنْظُرُ فَلَا يَرَى شَيْئًا قُدَّامًا. Looking ahead, he won't see anything. I mean, there's no escape for him. He'll look right, he'll look left. You know, sometimes when you're in a certain place and you're fearful, you're looking at the exits. You're looking at exits. Not to say you're going to run, but you look at exits. But this person in this scenario won't see anything. He won't see anything. And then when he looks further ahead, he will see, فَتَسْتَقْبِلُهُ النَّارُ. Jahannam will be facing him. You know, when you're... I'm not advocating this, but... If you ever look at, if you go as in on a trip and you do cliff jumping, right? They tell you, don't look down. When they say don't look down, what do? You look down, right? That's what happens. And when you look at that, then you become petrified. This is like a 100-meter cliff. You're going to have to jump from here. Of course, you've got the security. I'm not saying to do this anyway, but you got the security, you got everything there anyway. But when you look that, it makes it worse. If you close your eyes and you do it, okay, fair enough. When you look that, it makes it much worse. Now imagine this scenario. Well, you've got Jahannam, the most frightening thing in front of you, and you're going to have your scenario where you're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that point. So this is the hadith giving a perspective. This is just one stage of the many stages of the akhirah. And also actually mentions that even if you can fear the Jahannam, even with this like a part of a date, even do that. I mean, if you can give that much in charity, do it. Meaning it's so frightening that any little you can do, just do it to avoid it. And this is just one stage, as I mentioned. There's going to be the scrolls, the sirat, the scale, all the different parts, all the different stages. Now imagine on that day, where there's going to be a scenario, and an answer is going to be called, وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْؤُولُونَ. Stop them, they are going to be questioned. Now, Aisha radiallahu anha, when she used to hear something, she used to always clarify. So Rasulullah mentioned, مَنْ حُوسِبَ عُذِّبَ. Whoever is going to be questioned is going to be punished. So Aisha radiallahu anha then questioned that doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, that this successful individual is going to be given an easy questioning, an easy reckoning. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكِ الْعَرْضِ. That's just presentation. Meaning the part about the a'mal where you're going to be given the question, that's just going to be presentation. However, مَنْ نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابَ عُذِّبَ. Whoever is going to be... نِقَاش means to like argue. Meaning you have to give it. You have to basically defend yourself. Why did you do that? That person is going to be punished. Because that person has done something wrong, and now they're going to be punished for it. So yeah, when the first is the presentation. But when the sins come up, and that the defense for it needs to be, that's when, it also mentions that, عُذِّبَ, the person will be punished. So one part, at the sins we commit, we're going to be questioned for. We don't have the answers, punishment awaits. Another stage, another part of it. Rasulullah mentions that two believers will meet at the door of Jannah. مُؤْمِنٌ غَنِيٌ وَمُؤْمِنٌ فَقِيرٌ. A rich believer and a poor believer. The faqir will enter Jannah earlier, but the ghani, the wealthier one was kept behind for a little while. Then eventually he was entered into Jannah. So then the faqir met him and he said, مَا حَبَسَكْ. What kept you behind? And he said that I feared that I was going to... He said, mentioned that إِنِّي حُبِسْتُ بَعْدَكَ مَحْبِسًا فَضِيعًا كَرِيهًا. That I was kept behind an extremely frightening and one of anxiety, a questioning. So he mentioned that was how, what sort. He said that I was sweating to such an extent that the sweat that was emanating from me, 1,000 camels could drink it and they would be satiated. Such was the frightening, and I was sweating to such an extent that it thought, مَا لَوْ وَرَدَهُ أَلْفُ بَعِيرٍ كُلُّهَا أَكْلَةُ حَمْلِ النَّبَاتِ لَصَدَرَتْ عَنْهُ رُوَاءً. They would be satiated from it. And it wasn't the fact that he was unsuccessful, he was a true believer. However, he had to give recompense for the bounties that he had in his life. Meaning every bounty we have will be questioned for those bounties. It's not to say a person can't have wealth. نِعْمَ الْمَالُ الصَّالِحِ لِرَجْلِ الصَّالِحِ. Hussain mentioned to one Sahabi that how great is wealth for a great individual. The right individual will utilize it in the right way. Now, this he was a believing slave of Allah, a rich believer. However, He had to give account for the bounties he had, which kept him behind. The faqih didn't have as many bounties. So for him, his questioning was easy, and he had to go, he went to Jannah. That's not to say we throw away wealth. That's not what the question over here is. It's just to know that we are going to be questioned regarding our wealth, so be particular about how we spend our wealth and where we gain it. Another part of the a'mal we're going to be questioned for, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ مِنْ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing of the حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ we're going to be questioned for is going to be our salah. If that is successful, then the remaining a'mal will be successful. وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَتْ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ. If that is unsuccessful, the remaining will become more difficult. Meaning, it's a make or break. It's defining. And the first that was going to be questioned for on the Day of Judgment in regards to حقوق العباد is الدِّمَاء, is blood. Meaning, unnecessary killing. Or somebody taking somebody else's blood. Meaning killing somebody else. Now, as Ramadan is approaching, I mentioned that, this is a question that we're going to be questioned regarding. So as Ramadan is approaching, we can think to ourselves that, what changes do I need to see? Shayateen will be chained in there, so it's like a Road to Ramadan series for the next 6 weeks or so. That, how do we create that change within us, or that impact, to know what we're going to reflect on, to ensure that we have the right answer in the Day of Judgment? Five questions we're going to be questioned regarding, and we won't be able to move until we answer these five, is حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَى وَعَنْ عَمْرِهِ فِي مَا فَعَلْ. Regarding our life and what we did with it, and our actions and what we did. What our wealth, where we earned it and where we spent it, and our bodies and what we did, what we made, all with it, what did we do with our bodies? Five questions. We'll be asked regarding the Qur'an, did we hold on to it? فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِالَّذِي أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. That hold on to the Quran, to what's being revealed to Rasulullah from the Quran and the Sunnah. وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ. It's a reminder, it's a message for the people. وَسَوْفَ تُسْأَلُونَ. You're going to be questioned regarding it. How much of it did we practice upon? وَأُوفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ. We're going to be questioned regarding our promises. إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا. We're going to be questioned regarding وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. That Allah says, do not search behind things which you have no knowledge regarding. Meaning, if we don't have knowledge regarding it, do not speak about it. Do not say, this is my opinion. Or in my opinion, if we do not have knowledge regarding it, we do not have an opinion. Especially religious matters. Especially religious matters. Allah mentions in one verse, وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He has mentioned that it's haram, it's completely outright prohibited to mention something about Allah which you have no knowledge regarding. To mention something which is halal is to mention something about Allah. Why? Because if you say something is halal, it entails the pleasure of Allah. To say something is haram is to say that Allah's displeasure is on there. So you have directly attributed something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has mentioned this. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ. Do not say this is halal and this is haram because you are fabricating upon Allah. You're attributing states to Allah with which you have no knowledge regarding. And that's why Allah, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ. Do not go behind those things which you have no knowledge regarding. Our hearing, our sight, our faculties are all going to be questioned. Now, we know these questions are going to be there. I mentioned many stages are going to happen on the Day of Judgment. But we need to prepare for those. How do we prepare? As I mentioned, it's the New Year. It's an opportunity for us to reflect, think to ourselves. That, number one, what did I do in the last year? Where did I go wrong? And where I went wrong, why did I go wrong? These three things. What did I do last year? Where did I go wrong? And why did I go wrong? For the next year, that's coming up, Ramadan, we've got coming up also. Think to ourselves. That how do I create that change? What change do I want to see within myself? How punctual am I with my salah? My salah is going to be the first thing questioned. My promises. What are the rights of others? How much knowledge do I have? Where am I going to gain? We have these knowledge circles that we have on Wednesday, CLR, Tajweed. When am I going to join these sessions that we have? Gain this knowledge so that I can create this change and continually reflect throughout. At night, it's an opportunity. Every night, أَنْ يَتَصَفَّحَ الْإِنسَانُ فِي اللَّيْلِ مَا صَدَرَ مِنْ أَفْعَالِ نَهَارِ. What is muhasaba? What is this account? It's the fact that a person at night, he sits there and he thinks to himself, what have I done during the day? What have I done during the day? Continually think to ourselves. And when we do that, we come out of this thing of, you know, conceitedness, of narcissism, of where we think just about ourselves, and we think, outside of that, what have I done? Connect yourself to a local scholar also. When you do that, you can think to yourself that sometimes we think certain things are neutral. It's only when we ask, we find out that was somebody else's right I had taken. I had violated somebody else's right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all true understanding and tawfiq.